Welcome to the NCCF Teaching Podcast. We trust you find this encouraging. New Covenant Christian Fellowship is located at 205 North Pine Street in Woodland Park, Colorado. Our phone number is 719-687-6061. Our Sunday gathering is at 10 a.m. We trust you are blessed as you pore over God's Word with us.
Oh, the seas lift up.
Good morning, everybody. Some of you don't know me. I thought I'd tell you a little bit about myself before I talk today. I spent just a couple of months shy of 36 years in uniform. And about 20 of those, I was in special operations units. And for a little over six of them, I served in combat. So when I was praying about what I should speak to you about today, the subject of fear came up. And of course, it got confirmed this morning a couple of times already that that's probably something that's on everybody's mind. And I think based on my background, I could safely say that I'm a subject matter expert on the topic of fear. In fact, you know, when Chris Austin asked me to teach, guess what? My default setting was to say no. And you know why? Fear. Now, you know, it's crazy, but there it is. The fact is, Satan uses fear against us constantly in our daily spiritual battles. Fear of death is obviously the biggest fear that's common to mankind, but there are a lot of others, as we all know. Fear of failure, fearing of not having enough, fill in the blank, enough money or whatever it might be. Fear of rejection, of humiliation, of loss, of sickness, of getting hurt, and goes on and on. Fear is the source of guilt and shame and worry and a bunch of other negative emotions that the devil uses to trip us up. You know, in our culture, we have so many fears that psychologists have started to name them all, and they're called phobias. Probably heard about that movie, Arachnophobia, fear of spiders. Actually, I have a fear of spiders. It kind of freaks me out to think that a little tiny bug like that could bite you and kill you. Now it's gotten into the rest of society and politics. So if you say something truthful about Islam, you're suddenly Islamophobic. If you remind people what the scripture says about homosexuality, you're homophobic. And the list goes on. And not only do they say that we're afraid of that stuff, but we also are afraid of being called that name. So we don't talk about it. But, you know, as you look at it, there are two things that are common to the kind of fear that the devil uses and tries to stick us with. The first thing is that they're no good for us, and that those fears are counter to God's Word. And the second thing is that they're mostly irrational. So if you unpack it a little more, you can kind of start to understand how come fear is so prevalent in our society. But first I want to cover a kind of fear that is good and it's holy, and that's the fear of the Lord. The Bible tells us that the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. You can find that in Proverbs chapter 9. And in Psalms chapter 22, it says that fear of the Lord is healthy, and it's what allows us to praise God. In fact, the fear of God actually cancels out all other fears. So if, like it says, if the Lord is with us, who can be against us? Proverbs chapter 1, verse 33 says, "But whoever listens to me will dwell safely, and will be secure without fear of evil. Proverbs chapter 19 says, fear of the Lord leads to life, and he who has it will abide in satisfaction. He will not be visited with evil. So fear of the Lord is the only kind of fear that the devil can't use against us. And it's not a fear that makes us scared of God, because we know he loves us. It's a reverent awe that comes from the knowledge of God, from knowing his power, his sovereignty, and his majesty. So an intimate knowledge of God is the foundation that we need to deal with fear in the world around us. So I thought it might be helpful for us to revisit some of what Scripture says about fear. The problem is that every chapter in the Bible has a lot to say about it, so it'd be impossible to cover all of it. But I've always found that probably the most useful drill of this kind is to just look at the example and the words of our Savior. Jesus said, "Do not fear," probably more often than anything else that he ever said. And the way he said it was in the form of a command, not a suggestion. There are literally hundreds of verses where Jesus commands us to fear not. And I think it's also important to note that Jesus equates fear with a lack of faith. You remember the story where Jesus and the disciples were in the boat crossing the lake, and Jesus was asleep, and this horrendous storm blew up, and Jesus was still asleep. And the disciples were completely freaked out. They thought they were going to die for sure. So they woke Jesus up and told him what was going on. And Jesus calmly rebuked the storm, calmed the waters, and then he asked the disciples, "Why are you afraid, O men of little faith?" And several other times Jesus tells people, "Fear not, just believe." So think about this verse in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. It says, this is a great piece of scripture here. It says, "Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage." So this verse reminds us that to fear death actually cheapens the sacrifice that Jesus made for us. If he did all of this to destroy the power of death, but we still allow fear to keep us in bondage, then his work on the cross was for nothing. Just think for a minute how much this must grieve our Father in heaven. So, you know, all this time in combat, after I retired, I had time to reflect on it, and I counted 23 times, both in training and combat, that I should have been killed. And there was really no explanation for why I survived what had just happened. And I can tell you a little story that made me really convicted that God is in control of everything, and that I'm not going to die until God is ready for me to die. You know, some of you have probably heard of Stonewall Jackson. I'm not going to tell the whole story, but in the huge battle, first battle of Bull Run, where he got his name, and he got the name Stonewall because of his courage and his leadership in combat, a young captain after the fight asked him, "How can you remain so calm and composed in the middle of all this carnage and death all around you?" And here's what Stonewall Jackson said: "My religious belief teaches me to feel as safe in battle as in bed. God has fixed the time of my death. I do not concern myself with that, but always to be ready, no matter when it may overtake me." And then he said, "This is the way all men should live, and then all would be equally brave." Now, I took that verse to heart, or that story to heart, and I used that to try to dampen fear of death while I was in battle. Now get this, in 1 John chapter 4, it says, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love." So, as my reading of this tells me that the opposite of love is not hate, which most of us, think of. In fact, I remember seeing guys with tattoos on their hand, on their fingers. One of them is L-O-V-E on this hand, H-A-T-E on the other hand. But the opposite of love isn't hate, it's fear. Hate is simply a byproduct of fear, and the fear is caused by a lack of love. In fact, John also tells us that he who does not love does not know God, for God is love. Now that's some pretty powerful stuff when you start to unwind it. Jesus said in John chapter 13, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." So, taken together, and this is by no means all of what's in the scripture about fear, but I believe that the Bible makes it clear that fear of anything but God is a sin. And it's a sin that damages our relationship with the Lord and with each other. And it also gives the devil ammunition to use against us. So, given this, that fear is a part of our human nature, how do we stay free of it? Big question. So I think the first step is to recognize that this kind of fear I'm talking about is not from the Lord. So if it's not from Him, it must be from Satan. And it's not hard to remember why we don't want to hold on to anything that came from Him. So when fearful thoughts enter our mind, just like any other temptation of sin, we've got to take them captive to obedience to Christ. Now, once we've done that and realized that it's not from God and it's a sin and we need to get away from it, then we should, like other temptations, we give it to the Lord. Let Him deal with it. He wants to. And finally, I think it's always important that we keep the perspective of eternity in mind. When I thought about dying in combat and realizing that, hey, this is in God's hands and whatever happens is His will, and I could put this in the perspective of eternity, that, hey, I'm going to live forever with the Lord, and once I'm dead, I'm going to live in a place where there isn't any fear and there isn't any death and there isn't sickness and there isn't pain and there are no tears. So compared with an eternity, with the love and joy of the world, the fears we experience in daily life are really temporary and they're small, and they're actually unimportant if you can put it in the right perspective. And then, as has already been mentioned this morning, we should always remember what God says about you. And these things are true. He says you're a beloved son and poor daughter, that you've been washed clean by the blood of Jesus, that you're a member of his royal family, that you're destined to reign with Christ for eternity, that you're a representative of God and his kingdom on this earth, that you've been granted eternal life. You've been given all the authority and power of Jesus through the Holy Spirit. The Bible says that you are redeemed, sealed, purchased, and blessed. That you are loved, chosen, forgiven, and saved. You've been made alive. And then, finally, I ask you to consider just for a minute something that completely blows me away every time I think about it. And that is the fact that there's nothing that you can do to make our Father in heaven love you any more than he already does. And there's also nothing you can do to make him love you any less than he already does. He loves us so much that he has to regulate how much of his love we're exposed to, because it's so pure and it's so holy and powerful and limitless that our mortal bodies couldn't stand it if he gave it all to us all at once. But we're going to spend all of eternity overflowing with it. So I would encourage you today to take that authority and power that Jesus has given us and use it to take control of fear in your life. Use it to cast fear out of your home, out of your relationships, and out of everything that you live for, because it's not what God wants for us, and it didn't come from him. And it's like any other sin or any other temptation. It's not something that should overwhelm us. God has given us the strength, the power to overcome. So that's the word I had for you today, and I hope blessed. Thank you for the opportunity to talk.
It's our joy to offer these podcasts. We sure hope you enjoyed it. If you have any questions, any prayer requests, if you're curious about ways that you can more deeply be involved with this community, please drop us a line at nccfcolorado@me.com or like our Facebook page. Thank you and God bless.